welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I am Travis, and once again, I am joined by my good friend, Xavier Delgado.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me once again.
Thank you for having me back.
Oh, certainly my pleasure to have you on here.
And, yeah, I'm hoping, I had a lot of fun last time. I'm hoping things go
as good as they did, if not better. Yeah. I had a really good time with that last episode, and I think it came out really well.
Yeah.
And if you want to listen to that episode, you can always catch it on, well, you can find it on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. Also on the Stitcher Radio app, if you're using Android devices. You can also catch us on our website at popculturerewind.podbean.com. And also you can follow us through social media, through Facebook at facebook.com/popculturerewind. And also follow us on Twitter at popculturerwnd.
There you go. Yeah, I was really hoping that you would finally get a hang of that.
I know.
With me here, too, yeah.
It only took 7, 8, 9 episodes, I don't remember.
To get the Twitter thing down?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have Chris here to help me
He's usually the one who saves you, who pulls you out of that little slump when you're, like, stuttering over the Twitter address.
Yeah, so. Anyway, so I did that with no notes or anything this time, so.
Yeah, I will here to testify that. He was just trailing it off.
I'm finally getting the hang of this.
Yeah.
Man. Jeez.
Yeah. Very professional. Yeah. Okay.
So, I think this is going to be another really good, fun episode because we're discussing
the DC animated universe.
Yes,
not the cartoons, not the half hour ones that aired. That's a whole other show
because there's so many good ones on that.
Yeah, I could go off on just about Batman alone, not even including the Justice League and all that. No, we're talking about specifically the straight to DVD animated films.
Right.
There's like off the top of my head, there's like 12, 15, probably more.
Something like that, yeah. It's been around...
It's been around in the teens, I think, at least. They've been putting these out for a while.
Yeah, see, a few years ago, Warner Brothers Animation, they decided to go on this new movement of producing actual feature-length animated movies rated PG-13, geared to a more adult audience. Usually some language here and there, some violence, more violence than you would see on the animated shows.
You might get the word shit.
Yeah.
Or asshole. That's about it. They're not that blue.
Whatever PG-13 can allow on an animated format.
Oh, shit, what are we going to do now?
That was PG.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, what was that rated? They even say open. Damn it, open. Well, I guess damn it isn't a bad word, but when I was like 9, I thought, like, holy shit, they said damn it. Well, I didn't think holy shit, but...
Well, you did after...
It was a big deal to hear Ultra Magnus say damn it.
Yeah, well, because Spike said it earlier, so now you can say Spike. Now you can say shit.
Yeah, well, shit, not even... Nowadays, on regular network TV, there's pretty much the two, the C word and the F word are pretty much all you can... You can get away with everything else.
Pretty much.
On Breaking Bad, or on Rescue Me, and they were the ones back who were really embracing... Yeah, they were the ones who were embracing the fact that we can cuss all the time.
In the history books sometime, we're going to see...
I remember Rescue Me blew me away at how much they were cussing, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, hey, asshole, and cocksucker. Like, they were really saying a lot of cuss
words. This wasn't on HBO or Showtime or
anything. No, this was the first time I saw Rescue Me, I thought I was watching HBO.
Because
it was a sex scene. And this wasn't like... This was like simulated sex, like with emotion. You could tell they're having sex. This wasn't like in Melrose Place where they were just making out under a sheet, kissing with a bra on. You know, this was like the movements of simulated sex. And it was like pretty raunchy.
I get like that when I'm watching Sons of Anarchy. Like sometimes I forget that I'm watching it on this regular TV.
Is it? I've never seen that. I want to... Really? I've heard everybody says it's brilliant. I'm going to give it a go, but I want it to end.
Oh, okay.
Because if I start binge watching it now... Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I figured it's going to end soon. Mm-hmm. Once that's in a year from now, when I got nothing to do, and they're all right there, nice and neat, on Netflix, I'll just binge watch.
That's what I did with Breaking Bad.
It was completely over?
Well, it wasn't completely done. It was, I think, in season 4. And the first 3 seasons were on Netflix, and I just binge watched.
That's kind of what I did. Like, the tail end, I had to sit
week to
week.
But it screwed me up, because I got caught up, and then I had to watch week to week. And that's...
It did screw you up, but it really appreciated, like... Oh, my mouth was watering. Like, what's gonna happen now? It got me into it. There's some shows that I follow week to week, but I'm like, I could care what happens the next week.
I've noticed my watching patterns have been like that lately. It's like I'll wait. There's a couple of shows that came on last year that I didn't watch, and I was like, well, why not just wait till it comes on Netflix and I'll just watch. I'll watch the whole thing. There you go.
So. Yeah, like I was telling you, that's how I am with The Strain. I caught the first episode. This looked interesting. I'll give it a go, but I didn't really... I didn't want to do week to week.
My shows is Blacklist. I'm about to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
And Following.
That's the Kevin Bacon one.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, that's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
If I could find that somewhere streaming,
I'm a sleepyhead. That's what they call their.
You're a sleepyhead.
That's what they call their fans. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that?
No, I didn't. That's good. An actual thing. Good. Yeah. No, I'm not that corny.
Sleepyhead. Oh, no, I've heard good things. I'm intrigued.
Like Arrow fans or Arrowheads.
Arrow. Yeah. I guess that.
They got corny names for.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Arrowheads. What do you call Blacklist fans?
I don't know.
Blackheads? No. Okay. Well, did you want to get into this week's topic?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Well, we had a little bit of a debate over one of the movies we wanted to include.
Yes.
In this. I was saying, does it technically fall under the umbrella of these straight-to-DVD movies we're talking about? Because this one, you could argue it started it all. It's a DC animated full-length feature film. But this one had a theatrical release. I actually did see this in the theaters.
Did you?
Okay. I still have the ticket stub that says it. I still collect ticket stubs.
Do you? Okay.
I got a box full. It's not like I saved that one because it was a magical time.
No, I mean, I know you. I know you.
I saved that ticket stub because on the way home, my parents were shot from by a guy with a... He asked me if I had ever danced with the devil. No, but I mean, yes, I do remember vividly seeing that movie in the theater and thinking it was really awesome.
Yeah.
And that is Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. Which was just a feature-length film spin-off of the Batman the Animated Series, and I don't think that show had been, when did that movie come out?
Oh, it was still fairly new.
It wasn't even like that thing had been around for that long.
No. I would say 94?
Yeah, 90, like there was no other, like Superman hadn't come out yet. I think that was still the only DC anime.
Yeah, 93, 94, that was it.
Yeah.
But definitely for its time, I mean, whew, yeah, that was...
It was really good. For the plot was actually really intricate. It was like a mystery, you know, who's the bad guy in this one? It was a murder mystery. People were actually dying, which was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It upped the stakes a bit. That characters could actually get killed. It was just a really well done movie. It showed the origins of Batman, him training, his early training, him becoming Batman, him second guessing himself because he's getting a taste of happiness, and he's crying to his parents' headstones. Like, I wasn't counting on this. I didn't think I'd be happy.
You didn't see this in animation before.
No, this was a whole part of Batman's psyche that nobody ever really touched on before.
This is why I like to consider this part of DC animated movies. If you're gonna make a list,
I mean, as far as just quality, it might be the best movie of all of them.
Yeah,
it holds up. It holds up like you wouldn't even believe.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You could probably release it on DVD today. I think maybe you probably have to put some fancy animation because it was the old school animation, which I like.
Touch it up a little bit, but then again, I mean, why not?
One of the cool things about the Batman, you know, they would draw on black paper to give it that real, you know, gothic deco style. And the movie, you know, it looks just like a really long episode. There's a few computer tricks, I think, in like the opening sequence or something like that, just to have.
Well, mid-90s, because I mean,
yeah, you had to do that. Every you know, Beauty and the Beast, and they would always have like that one scene with some computers because animating with computers was like the hot new thing.
Right, yeah. But in the fact that they had a little bit of everything in there, you had the Joker in there, you had the death of his parents, talking about dealing with that, and then they had...
And the Joker, he's got some of the best lines that he's ever had, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's arguing with some gangster, and the gangster, like, grabs Joker by his coat cuffs, and Joker, like, get your hands off me! I don't know where you've been, or something like that. It was just some random joke. Or he's wrestling with Batman, and he's reaching on the table for a weapon, and his hand falls on, like, a hatchet... And he moves over to grab the salami right next to him instead and then beat Batman with a salami. Like, he's fucking insane. Even in a fight, he's going to go for the joke instead.
And then, not even mention Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, we got to mention him.
Yeah, both of those guys, really two of the best, most inspired casting choices that Andrea Romano has made. Back in the day when she was...
And she's going to be a constant throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to have to mention almost everything we're going to mention. There's been one woman, Googler, right now. Look at her. Look at that face. She's responsible for almost all the voice work that we're going to talk about, for good or bad. You know, she's the casting director for these things. And there is a... Well, I'll get to it. But there's one thing I want to talk about.
For Mask of Phantasm or just later on down the road?
Later on down the road.
Yeah. The one thing I did want to mention about Mask of Phantasm, just to give it a sense of how big this was when it first came out. When it was first came out, there was a show. We know who they are. Siskel and Ebert. Mm-hmm. I don't know kids.
Gene Siskel and Robert Ebert, two Chicago-based film critics. Yeah. Were pretty much, if they said it was good, they could sink a movie.
Now, or, when it first came out, they actually didn't like it.
Neither of them?
And then, I think one of them gave a thumbs down or thumbs up. But they actually, because of, I guess, the response they got from it, whatever, they actually went back. And I don't think that's ever happened before. They actually went back and rewatched it and then gave it two thumbs up.
Hmm. There you go.
Yeah. So.
Well, Siskel and Ebert says, who cares the shit what they say? Travis and Xavier give this movie two thumbs up. Fun for the whole family. Go check it out. Mask of the Phantasm. And it's got a good twist ending. I'm not even going to get into that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a solid movie that really holds up. Anyway, but that was back in 93. Right. And then, like, what, 10 years later?
Yeah, we're going to jump about 15 years.
Let's fast forward about, 10 years.
It's going to be after that, man. It's going to be
more than that? 2004.
We'll say between 10 and 15 years.
Yeah, okay. Around there, after the DC animated cartoon universe, we got Justice League and Superman and Batman Beyond. And
right.
They're doing pretty good. Then, like you said, they decided to start putting out some straight-to-DVD movies. And they put out some really good ones. Yeah. Some not so great. I'm not even going to call any of them really bad. Just when you compare them to the better ones, you're like, that was nowhere near as good.
Well, there might be one or two.
I might consider
one or two bad.
We'll get to those. Yeah. Okay. But what is in your opinion? What is one of the stronger ones that off the top of your head you think stood out as that was well done?
Okay, we're not going to go in any order. I'm just one of the first ones.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We're just talking here about some of the better ones.
We're not going to say top one through on the top five.
Whatever. I will say I think Mask of the Phantasm is probably the best one. Everything here is tied for number two.
There you go.
Okay, what's a strong one?
Okay, maybe because it's more recent, but when you ask me, I go straight to Justice League Flashpoint Paradox.
Ah, Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah.
Isn't that like DC's answer to Days of Future Past?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It was in the comics. It was a little miniseries, epic saga, whatever. It was called Flashpoint. It was basically a way of, if you were a Marvel fan from the 90s, there was an X-Men storyline called Age of Apocalypse.
Oh, that's what I meant. Did I mean Apocalypse?
You said Future Past. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's all history and time travel shit. So basically,
it's alternate darker reality.
Right.
It's the darkest timeline.
Exactly.
Is what it is. Okay. Yeah. So Flash and Evil Abed are trying to conquer the world. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Jeff's got one arm.
Right.
Okay. No. Well, give them the bullet points of what Flashpoint Paradox is about in case they are familiar with the comic book.
Okay.
It's kind of a cool plot.
Yeah, it is. Without going into too much detail, just because I'll probably screw some shit up. basically, Flash, one of his villains, creates...
Time gets disrupted.
Yeah.
Flash.
From a past event.
Yeah.
And
Flash wakes up in alternate reality.
Yeah, someone dies, and then he wakes up in a current time stream, or different alternate universe.
Yeah.
And pretty much
everything. Cool idea.
Yeah.
Good guys are bad, bad guys are good. One of the big conflicts is that there's a war between Atlanteans and Amazons.
Right.
Wonder Woman and Aquaman are literally at war with the planet Earth, kind of caught in the middle. Stakes are really high. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, I'm not purposely being too vague on it, but it's just like, you don't want to say too much.
I'm just giving, the bullet point plot. Yeah. But, character... It's like a what-if comic where, anything can happen. Characters could die. Characters we know and love could just die like that. And
anytime you're able to have an alternate version of something and you're able to tweak the characters in such a different way, it makes it interesting. It makes it fun.
Oh, yeah. Like, again, certain characters are different. Characters we know have gone evil or they're darker or whatever. It's just a lot of freedom.
Yeah, I love what they did with Superman in particular.
That was...
It was different.
Did we not mention that? That was really cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And Batman, they went in a totally crazy different direction on the Batman we know.
Yeah. Again, when you're dealing with it, there's a lot of, surprises in there, and because it's dealing with characters that you don't know what the twist is going to be on them, so we're not going to say anything about that. But the I think the important thing about Flashpoint Paradox on the animated side was it was a starting point. That's what changed it going forward to the New 52 style.
Yes.
Of the animated movies.
Yeah.
And the New 52 is basically, in the comics, that was just a reboot of all the titles, kind of starting from scratch on all the main characters and the titles and everything. So the animated series, animated movies, had to catch up with the comics on that.
Now, I guess, I don't know if it's a spoiler because there's only one episode in, but there's you've seen this new Flash. You think mm-hmm. Flashpoint is going to, in any shape or form, going to enter in with this show? Because I caught about 15 minutes of it, and I think I saw some hint that this could affect that new TV show that just came out.
Yeah, the opening scene on
and like
Flash.
I said, yeah, like yeah. I'm saying, it's not even a spoiler because it happens right off the bat.
Yeah.
But I saw it, and then...
It was very similar to the beginning of Flashpoint Paradox.
It was, yeah. And I was like, is that what this show is? The Flash? Is it like a Flashpoint Paradox? The show? For a second there, I was getting excited because Paradox, the animated movie, is really good. If they could make a movie out of it, but I knew that was not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, no.
This is going to be some teen... Like, it's Smallville.
You know what? I real quick, I did watch the pilot mm-hmm. for Flash. It at least got me wanting more. I want to see this... It was good enough for me to say, okay, I want to see where they're going with this.
Because you're a comic book reader and you know about Flash and you just like seeing him in a new medium, or because this show really grabbed you?
More or less the first one.
Like, wow, is he going to... Gee, the girl Iris that he likes, are we going to have a whole season of will they, won't they sexual tension? Wow, you know, come on, they set that up right off the bat.
Yeah, no.
It was kind of lazy.
More or less because I was catching a lot of nods that they were doing to comic book fans throughout the episode.
Like John Wesley Shipp as his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of... Who played Flash in the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't remember that show that well, but I remember it fondly. I remember being like 10, liking that old school Flash TV show. I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah, because that was a full-on superhero TV show. He had the costume and everything. And
I thought that... I mean, again, I haven't seen him in full costume. I remember thinking that costume looked the shit. I thought the... I don't know. I remember thinking it looked cool. I can barely remember any of the episodes. I think I remember one with Captain Cold was like the bad guy.
I just remember Mark Hamill was in there.
He was like the trickster, yeah. And then they got him to be the voice of the trickster in the Justice League. He played the trickster.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Don't you remember the one where the four villains are all trying to... Batman and Orion.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he goes into a bar and he like tops him down. Yeah. And he's like, finish your drink and then go back to the hospital, and he leaves. And he's like, got me again, Flash. Holds it up his beer and... That's one of the best animated episodes, and they got Mark Hamill looking almost exactly the same way. I thought it was a nod to the 90s TV show.
It probably was.
That they got Mark Hamill to be the voice.
It probably was, and
dressed him up, and that just went over your head.
Yeah, probably.
Who gave you a podcast, man?
That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it.
I'm sorry.
I give it to myself.
You can edit that out. But, yeah, Flashpoint's a pretty strong one. One of the ones I liked was the Wonder Woman movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the earlier ones that they did, I think. I think it was probably when it first came out, I thought, like, yes, this is finally, like, a really good one. Because the first two or three they did were kind of
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman came out, and I was like, wow, this is a really strong one. It's got some really good voices. Nathan Fillion, I think that was his first time doing voice work in the DC animated universe. He's gone on to do more. No, I'm sorry. He was in the cartoon.
Yeah.
He was the Vigilante.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay, you're right. So he had done... That's another thing, is Andre Romano, they kind of... They hire from within, you know? If you've done work on one thing, they'll get you into another project, you know? They don't go too far.
Well, up until the New 52 stuff, but...
Well, yeah. But yeah, he was... what's his name? Steve...
Trevor?
Yeah. I was going to say Steve Austin. Like, why do I know that name? Alfred Molina, as the bad guy, was I thought he was a pretty cool villain. They didn't make Wonder Woman fly. They didn't make her too super. She was a bit more... She was pretty much just like a really good warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't have too many bells and whistles. They didn't give her the invisible jet. No, they did.
Yeah, I think
they did.
They did,
right?
I think so.
Was it invisible? It's been a few... Yeah, you're right. No, yeah, they did.
I was about to say, I thought they did.
Yeah. But it was... I don't know. It was just...
It was a good, solid Wonder Woman movie. Or the story.
Because I've never even been that huge of a Wonder Woman fan. I mean, you know... I'd never really read any Wonder Woman books or whatever, but I was intrigued by her origins and her story, and I was into it. And, particularly Nathan Fillion, he brought a lot of fun to that movie.
The animation helped a lot too.
The animation was pretty cool. A lot of good fight scenes. A lot of good action. It's like a Sword and Sandals epic of Amazon's fighting. Yeah. And like I said, it was really grounded. There's no crazy laser beams flying around and buildings being, you know, it was like the ultimate, the end fight was just two people straight up fighting.
Right.
Kind of. I don't know. It was just overall strong, stood on its own, and I was surprised that it was that good.
Yeah. We kind of touched on it earlier. There's been some bad ones. Well, I'll say this right up front. The first animated movie that they start off in this little endeavor here.
Oh, yes, the very first one.
Yeah.
It made me hesitant to stick with it.
Yeah. It was the Superman Doomsday.
The Doomsday story, yeah. One of the few... I'm more of a Marvel reader, but I did get into some DC books, and one of them was obviously The Death of Superman. I had to get everything I could on that. And I was, like, psyched to see them... Oh, they're going to make a movie, Doomsday. That's an epic story to tackle. And they fucked it up. I'm sorry. They just screwed it all up. From the design of the character, Lex Luthor looked like he was dying. He was so skinny.
So did Superman. He had the little lines on his cheeks.
Yeah, those really high cheekbones.
Yeah.
And I think Adam Baldwin was the voice.
Right.
I love Adam Baldwin.
I like James...
I like James Marsters, too. I don't know if they were either of them were really right.
Maybe James Marsters, but...
I don't know. Who did Lois? Wasn't that...
Anne Heche?
Anne Heche was Lois, yeah.
Here's the thing about this. You just mentioned it. You weren't really a big DC guy, but you went out and got the comics for that one. Everybody knows the story of Death of Superman.
Yeah. Where was the Justice League?
Thank you!
Where was Maxima and Blue Beetle getting their asses kicked and all that? And Doomsday fighting with his hand behind his back and all
and
that.
And another thing is, what they should have done was...
They should have just translated the comic.
That too, but the comic was so big. They try to condense 2 years worth of stuff into...
Oh, his coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I should say, the comic book ends, at least the big issue ends, like the last frame of it is him dying.
Right.
He dies about like 20 minutes into this movie. And then the rest...
Spoiler alert,
yeah. And then there was no gravitas to him dying because it was like, wow, we've been watching this movie for like 20 minutes and now he just died. The rest of the movie is people coping with his death, the funeral, and how he comes back. And there's actually an episode of Justice League where he gets sent 50,000 years into the future.
Yeah.
It's a two-parter. And back in the real world, we're all coping with the death. We have a funeral for him. We're marching down the street. Mm-hmm. Batman's in denial. I thought they handled the death of Superman.
Oh, absolutely.
Way better than this movie. You know, Lois hammering Lex's chest at the funeral.
Oh,
like,
that was
what
so
are you
good.
Doing here?
Oh, man. That was
you know, you're so glad. And then Lex Luthor's like, believe it or not, I miss him too. Yeah. And I'm like, I believe Lex probably would be sad if Superman left.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, when they're marching down the street and Wonder Woman looks up and you can see Batman is on the roof, like, he didn't want to show up, but he owes it to his friend to come down and pay his respect. They did it way
better. They knocked
it
out of the park on that one.
Yeah.
But this movie?
And then this movie was... It was a wreck. The character's design, like I said, they looked dumb. It wasn't the story that we wanted to be told.
Right.
A story we already knew.
Right.
I don't know where they went wrong.
I would hope that if they didn't start their movie lines with this movie, they would have... tackled it later on, and they would have done a better job of it later on.
Yeah.
Maybe to the point of making it like a two- or three-part episode, or two- or three-part movie.
You could probably do that. You could probably... probably condense it into like an hour and a half.
Because I would do... If it was me, I would do the Death of Superman story as one movie. End it with the final scene.
Just like that.
And then the second movie, you could...
Do like the four characters?
Yeah, the Reign of Superman.
Yeah,
that, and then bring back Superman at the end of that. So it's like a three-hour thing altogether. Like an hour and a half for the death of, an hour and a half for Return of. And then, like, you could start off the second one with Funeral for a Friend, where they're watching down the road now, and everybody's coping and all this other stuff.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they've never really... they did... I was about to say, they've never done, like, part one and two, but then I just forgot they did. It was the Dark Knight Returns.
That's another really good one.
Part one, part two.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was Peter Weller as the voice of Batman. This was sort of a standalone, kind of not really related to any of the other ones. Yeah,
it was just an adaptation of Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, exactly. So they got different voices who they never had before. Right. So we're not confusing it with any other thing. Peter Weller, did you like him as a voice of Batman
for this
RoboCop?
Particular, thank you.
Yeah,
for this particular iteration of it, I like.
Yeah, I only saw those one apiece. And that was a while ago. And I remember thinking they were good, but I don't remember
when
them too
I remember
well.
When it first came out, I was thinking, well, that's a shame that's split up in two parts because I'm not going to buy it. Because I didn't want to do, like, part one. That's why, you know what? That's why I haven't bought Kill Bill yet. Because it's all, like, on two different
discs. Oh, God.
I want to get them all in one. But anyway, that's
here all, and there. All both of them?
Two, yeah, two. Whatever. but they did release it on Blu-ray as a complete Dark Knight Returns complete set.
You own that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's really good. Just because it's all... They took the time to tell a story without...
Yeah. I think it's a cool story. Oh, like it was like, yeah, let's definitely adapt that one of Bruce retired.
Right.
And the city's gone to shit without him. Mm-hmm. And he kind of has to put the old cape and cowl back on and, you know, set things straight. Mutant. I don't know. I didn't really get the whole mutant thing. Wasn't there like...
It was just...
It was like a gang of mutants or something. Yeah. Like, I don't remember what that had to do with the story. Where they came from.
It was just villain cannon fodder, pretty much.
And then he, like, fights Superman at the end. Because Superman, he's, like, the man. You know, yeah. He represents the government. And you're like, you can't be... we won't tolerate vigilante shit.
I like the fact that...
Shit, we've heard a million times. Yeah. And you could... And, but by this point, they're old colleagues. Like, Superman's right. not... Batman's not impressed with Superman. You know, he's not scared of this guy. I thought some of the scenes of them two together, like, where he's out on his farm or whatever, Superman lands... And Superman's
I even like the fact that they brought in, because they did do it, they brought in Green Arrow during that fight also.
They did? I don't remember that.
The one-armed Green Arrow?
He had one arm? I gotta go back and watch The Dark. I gotta go back and watch that one, because that's all sounding new to me. But I just remember thinking, like, walking out of it with, like, oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah. And I'll probably, I think I've downloaded it since then, but I haven't gone back and watched it.
It was just a really good adaptation of the story, so I give it two thumbs up for that one. What about you? Do you have any ones that you'd like to point out right now?
Adaptation of the story.
Or not even adaptation, because they've done some original stuff. Because
I was going to say, like I said, I didn't read too many DC books. I could probably count, like, on both hands how many big ones I had. But another one I did own as a kid that I read a lot was Death in the Family.
Okay.
That's the one where the Joker killed...
Spoiler.
Joker kills... Wait for it. Jason Todd.
Yeah. Who?
Second Robin. The one that people voted to kill. Got they it. Actually had... What was it? Like a 1-800 number? Yeah. You can choose to vote whether he lives or dies. They chose to kill him. He was pretty annoying. But it was a really good story where Joker kills... He finds... It turns out his mother's alive. And he finds his mother after all these years. And then 10 minutes later, Joker beats him to death with a crowbar.
And then blows them up.
And then blows them both up. Really pretty cold. Takes place not long after the Killing Joke, I think. Because there's some references in there about what he had just done to Barbara. So, yeah, Joker's at his most psychotic in this. And it was just a really good story. And then following that... there's a movie called Under the Red Hood where it turns out Jason Todd was resurrected. He becomes his own vigilante called the Red Hood, and Batman has to track him and find him down. And Joker's in it too. John DiMaggio, they chose to be the voice of the Joker, and I like him, but his voice in my head is too recognizable. I just kept hearing Bender.
Yeah, I think not even that. I just think his voice is too deep for Joker.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I thought that on the page, the way they wrote his stuff was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, whoever was writing this, yeah, it was a pretty good Joker. But something about Don DiMaggio, I'm over familiar with it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem when you cast guys like Kevin Michael Richardson, who you've heard a million times, play a million characters, and you're just hearing just one other version.
Kevin Michael Richardson. You know, it's funny, we were watching a show, it might have been an episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something, but you heard his voice, and you're like, oh, Kevin Michael Richardson. Oh, good to see he's getting work.
Yeah. He's the guy who just uses... He's got a distinct voice, and he keeps using it. He's not like a Billy West or somebody who can change it around, and, you know.
Well, Billy West, I mean, he's starting to get to the point where he's just using his voice now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess after years, you can start phoning it in.
Because it's the Eminem and Fry.
Yeah.
It's, nowadays, that's all he is. Anyway.
But I remember thinking that the animation in Red Hood was pretty good. They had MPH as a little scene as a Nightwing. And I remember watching the fight against Amazo with Nightwing where he was doing flips.
Oh, that was
and
such
leaps.
A good animated
Because he's a gymnast or an acrobat, he had really fluid flips and all that. And I thought the animation was done really cool. I thought that was a pretty good movie because I didn't know anything about that particular storyline. I knew who Jason Todd was. I knew all the events.
Oh, so you knew the death of Superman, or the death of Death in the Family, but you didn't know what happened.
No, that's what I'm saying. I knew all the events leading up to it. Like, the table was set. I knew going into the story who was doing what. So it was cool to see a continuation of a book that I was already really familiar with. And I thought Red Hood was pretty good.
All right, so you really like the Red Hood, and I like it's. I'm going back thinking of the animations, some of the fight scenes in that one. So, that's a good one too. So if you're,
and I like that the Red Hood was actually killing people. Whenever there's blood, whenever there's people getting killed, it sounds like a juvenile thing to say. I want to see people dying, but I don't know. It looks kind of cool when to actually see the Red Hood kill somebody.
And that's where he was at odds with Batman.
Yeah, because Batman has his golden rule. Right. He will not use a gun.
Yeah,
he'll put him on everything. Every
vehicle. I was about to say,
he'll put him on every vehicle he owns.
Decked out and
he'll put guns on everything he owns. But I will not pick up a gun.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there were bullets in there.
I don't know which one do you like?
Well, we mentioned one called Mask of the Phantasm. There was another one that spawned off from another successful Batman animated series, and that was Batman Beyond. Return of the Joker.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a really dark one too.
There's like a version that exists.
Yeah.
There's scenes that exist where, because I bought it on DVD, but for a while there it was on Netflix, and I watched it on Netflix for some reason, and it turns out there was like alternate. It was darker.
Do they have so Netflix had the uncut version?
Netflix had the uncut version.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it was because in the version I remember, a character died kind of by his own, hoisted on his own, but whatever. He slipped in some water and accidentally killed himself. Whereas in the Netflix version, he just straight up got shot by a character. It was just straight up first degree murder. Not, I slipped and accidentally died, so nobody can technically be called a murderer in this scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like this is way better. Why did I blew $10 on this thing, on this DVD? It was a 2-pack at Target.
And I think that was one of the first times it was like a really, they went that direction with being it so dark.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed Batman Beyond.
Oh yeah,
I thought that was a good series, and definitely. I thought that the Joker was a worthy continuation of that saga.
Oh, definitely. I agree.
And I remember when I first heard about Batman Beyond, I was like, who are these guys to presume the history, or not the history, but
the legacy,
future, the legacy of Batman, to say he became a regular, or to say this, or to say that. But once you, as long as you don't hold that mythology precious, and you can just sort of step back and look at this as like a what-if kind of a thing, and just appreciate it for what it is, it's a really cool idea of Batman having a protege and becoming like the mentor. And
there's a, real quick, not to go too much off this, but for the comics, the official canon continuity of the comic books, they finally...
Spoiler. Because you're about to spoil it for me. I don't even know this, but go on.
No, this has nothing to do with this, but they finally introduced Terry McGinnis, Batman Beyond, into normal continuity.
Like, Batman's still Batman?
Yeah.
Is Terry like a kid?
There's a series out right now called Future's End. It's kind of like Days of Future Past, but
Days of Future's End.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it. It's like if you know Days of Future Past, okay.
I probably won't ever get it. I don't know if I can find it with minimal effort. Maybe I'll read it. Do you own it?
It's in my
We'll have to check that out.
So anyway,
Revenge of the Joker's great soundtrack too.
Yeah.
They had like, what's this dude? Wayne Static, I think, put a song in there from Static X.
Okay.
Yeah, there was like a video for it. It's on the.
Oh, was there a video?
Yeah, there was like a video.
Oh, wow.
It was him performing, intercut with like footage.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool song. And, I don't know. I like those Batman Beyond stories.
Yeah.
They were kind of cool.
No. So I would definitely recommend, checking that one.
Speaking of the Return of the Joker, I said I bought it in a 2-pack.
Yeah.
I think the other thing in that 2-pack was a Batman Mystery of the Batwoman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or something like that. It was a based off the animated universe, not the original ones, but the futuristic ones where he Batman and Robin, there's an official word for it.
What's that?
The Batman and the Animated Series, but it wasn't set in the olden days.
Are you talking about when they redid the animation style?
It was kind of rebooted, yeah. To look more modern.
Yeah.
And Bruce had like eyeballs.
Joker
and
had look.
The Joker blue. Had the dots.
Yeah.
And Bruce had actual
and
whites
Catwoman
in his eyes.
And Catwoman was blue for some reason. I don't know why she was blue.
Yeah, they tweaked a lot. As far as I'm concerned, all the skies all of a sudden became red all the time. They had Tim Drake.
Yeah.
Was the Robin. There's one improvement, I will say, in all of that, and that was Scarecrow, where they gave him the noose.
Yeah.
To where he looked scary as fuck. I'll give him that much. But some people didn't change a whole lot. Croc became green.
Yeah.
You know, Poison Ivy became pale. Everything was just slightly tweaked and slightly modernized. It was based in that universe.
Okay.
And it's like this mystery where this...
Of the Batwoman.
A Batwoman, yeah, is trying to kill some mob boss, I think. And all of a sudden we're introduced to three random female characters into this Batman world. Gee, do you think one of them is going to be the Batwoman? And it turns out, no. Twist, turns out they're all the Batwoman. Which I gotta admit, for about 2 seconds it threw me before I realized, oh, they're all the Batwoman. It was just really simple when you think about it. I don't even consider that part of this whole umbrella we're talking about. Did that even... When did that come out? And it must have come out before they started producing, because that probably came out in the 90s.
That was at the tail end of when the anime series was starting.
That's what I'm saying. This isn't
down.
Even technically part of the umbrella of the Warner Brothers Premiere company that has been making all these movies.
What about, what would you think about Sub-Zero? That came out, that was like the follow-up to
Mask of
the Phantasm.
I mean, Sub-Zero's fine.
Yeah.
It's just like a really long Batman the Animated Universe episode
about
to
Mr.
me.
Freeze.
About Mr. Freeze.
And
he
if
was
you
always
like,
kind of a cool character.
Yeah, if you like how they, which I did, I like how they did Mr. Freeze in this animated series. The voice
he's pretty much the definitive idea of what we have of Mr. Freeze.
I think so.
The tragic hero who lost his wife, you know, it's been adapted to somewhat lesser positive effect, even in Batman and Robin, with Arnold Schwarzenegger as a scientist. Yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger. whose superpower is making ice puns. Batman and Robin, that's a great drinking game. Every time there's an ice pun, do a shot. And you'll probably be dead of alcohol poisoning before the first act.
God, that move's so bad.
Ice to see you, you know, cool party. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. God. That movie's not even fun.
To laugh at.
It's so bad it's good.
No.
It's not even fun in that aspect. It just makes me mad when I watch that movie. Oh, God. I'm not even... Why'd you bring that up? Why'd you bring up that mess of Batman and Robin? Okay.
All right, well, rebound from this.
I need to clean... Okay, I need to cleanse my palate.
Okay, all right.
Okay, you know what? I want to talk about something... Okay, there's one I want to talk about. It's one of these animated movies. It was called Batman Year One.
Yes.
Yes. It was another adaptation of a comic.
Right.
We've had a few of these.
Done really well.
Done very well.
Yeah.
You got Mr. Walter White himself, Bryan Cranston, playing a young Jim Gordon,
mm-hmm.
first coming into Gotham. He's
mm-hmm.
he's the one honest cop in a really corrupt city. And Batman is this may sound familiar, like, hey, haven't I seen this on Fox? No, I'm not talking about that. And Batman plays a young Bruce Wayne just starting to become Batman.
Right.
Like, he's just going out in the city. He's not even officially Batman yet. He's going out, like,
he's
dresses
just,
as
like,
a bum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to infiltrate gangs. He's not even officially put on the cape and cowl yet.
Right.
And it's really well done. It focuses more on Jim Gordon than it does on Batman, even though it's called Batman Year One. He's the main character. He's the protagonist. He has the first-person narration. It's really well done. It's kind of short. It's not... I think it might be like an hour long.
Did you read the comics?
I did read the comic,
okay.
And it's very faithful to
yes,
it. It follows it
is
very
faithful.
Yeah. Now, I'm praising this as a concept. Oh, young Jim Gordon coming into the city. Wow, this is such a cool idea, and it works. But now, Fox has just put out a show called Gotham. I think you guys you discussed this before.
It may not be
a few episodes ago. I've seen it. I've only seen the first couple of them. I've been meaning to catch up on the rest. It's okay. It's kind of like what I was talking about with Batman Beyond. If you don't hold the mythology of Batman precious to you,
mm-hmm.
and you just treat this as a what if, then it's kind of fun. I think it would be better if they just didn't have Bruce Wayne in it at all.
I agree.
Just eliminate him from the plot. There's the whole show starts with the crime scene of the Wayne's murder and Jim Gordon comes out. If they had said, like, that's the Wayne kid, and he looks, and you see a blurry shot of a kid, people are walking past, he can't even get a good view, he's like, oh, okay. And that's all we ever learn of it.
Yeah.
You know, and just focus on Jim Gordon, maybe have some other villains come in too, but I just got a feeling I'm going to get bored with the Bruce plot lines.
Well, from the episodes I've seen so far, the Bruce Wayne aspect of it is the worst part of the show.
It is. And they made Alfred a dick.
Oh, God, yeah.
I usually like Sean Pertwee, but they made him a dick. and you should get a more classy English man. You know, he sounds too Cockney a little bit. I don't know.
A little.
I don't think he was right. Anyways. And also, Jada Pinkett, I think she's a pretty weak villain.
Yeah, I agree, but at the same time, I think it works for where I think they're going to go with that whole aspect of that.
I don't know. I don't know what it is with Hollywood lately. They feel compelled with origin stories to tie everything together before it You know, Peter Parker's parents, let's make his dad the one who invented the actual stuff. I haven't seen the new Turtles, but from the trailer, it makes it seem as if her dad is somehow involved in the mutagen. Like, why can't the Turtles just meet April and have that be a thing? Why can't Peter Parker just
randomly... Because it's too easy.
Why can't Peter Parker just randomly get powers and have it be a thing? Why does Sam Witwicky's granddad had to be the ones who discovered Transformers? Even in that Eric Bana the Hulk, his dad happened to be the one who did experiments on him. Why are they constantly trying to
There has to be that connection.
Why can't things just happen?
Yeah.
And this whole show, Gotham, is basically...
Everything's connected.
Everything is connected. I mean, Catwoman was there when it happened, and you know, Poison Ivy's dad was part of the frame up, and everything has to be so connected before the Waynes, Thomas and Martha Wayne, their bodies aren't even stiff yet, and everything's connected so early. I don't know. I guess, like I said, if you hold the mythology precious, the show's gonna kind of piss you off. But if you're just a casual Batman fan and you think this, hey, that's kind of cool that this guy was involved in that, and you can appreciate it, and more power, you're probably going to like the show.
For me, what makes it easy for me to digest is the fact that I look at it as a cop show. It's a cop show with characters that I'm familiar with.
Okay, you know, I will say one thing about the show that I'm loving is Donald Logue as Bullock. He is the one thing that I'm, enjoying. I think he's really good. He's a good actor. No stranger to comic book movies. He was in Blade. He was in Ghost Rider.
I like him and Ben McKenzie as Gordon together. I think they...
Ben McKenzie. Okay, here's the thing. He was also in Batman Year One. He was the voice of Batman. And I can just picture Andrea Romano in the special features, why she can't... Oh, his voice is so perfect for Batman. I think we were so happy to get him. Conveniently, his voice is so perfect for Jim Gordon. Like, really? Like, this one actor, they didn't... Like I said, they like to hire within. They didn't go too far.
Right.
They're telling the same story, Gotham and Year One, or kind of the similar story. And you get the same actor to play both of the main characters. Like, really? This kid has that much range. He's that good. And I'm sure this kid's a fine actor. I've actually never seen an episode of OC. I've never seen Southland Tales. I've never really seen him in anything.
I haven't seen him in anything either.
But... I just think he looks too young.
You think so?
Some actors just have a youthful look to them. And Brandon Routh and Superman, I think he looked too young to be Superman. He looked like a kid.
What it is for me is maybe stylized versions. I'm used to Gordon with the stash.
He needs glasses. A fucking mustache.
The
I'm sorry.
And the glasses.
He needs a mustache and glasses. Yeah, give him a nice, full, lush Ron Swanson youthful mustache if it makes it feel better. Give him some cool...
I think that's an oxymoron.
Yeah, you're probably right. But yeah, he looks too young.
Yeah.
I don't think he was right.
Other than that, I'm enjoying what I'm liking so far.
I'm probably going to keep watching it.
Yeah. I do like what they're doing with Penguin.
Most of these complaints I had when Smallville first started, too.
And you still had it towards the end, too.
I still watch. Well, at the time, that was so long ago, I had a lot more free time. I could watch a show that was subpar. Now, I don't have the time to watch mediocre television. But I'll probably, I don't know.
Give it the benefit of the doubt. And,
until it starts to officially piss me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
But that was my 2 cents on Gotham. Sorry, I went off there. But back to the animated world.
Well, you know what came with on that DVD for Year One, there was a short animated feature for Catwoman.
Woo! That was like 15 minutes long.
That was some good animation.
That was some very good animation on that one.
Yeah, especially one particular scene.
Yeah, and it was a short short little film. Like, yeah. I wish they would all do that. Throw a little 15-minute... Now, okay.
Well.
Yeah. They did release one. I think it was called, like, DC...
Showcase.
Showcase?
Yeah.
Just that? And it was like, a 40-minute Shazam movie with Black Adam. No, that's what it was called. It was called something about Return of Black
Superman,
Adam.
Superman, Shazam...
The Return of Black Adam.
Something like that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And it was, like... Like 30-40 minute Shazam movie, mm-hmm. and then like three little 15-minute.
But that movie, the Shazam movie, that was really good.
Yeah, it had some really good animation. It was Shazam, it Black story, Adam, yeah. and Superman was in it.
It told a good story.
Superman's fighting Black Adam yeah. while the kid's trying to become Captain Marvel.
It was
or whatever.
Superman Shazam: The Return of Black Adam. That's what it's called.
Yeah, and then you had a little bitty short film with Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little bitty short film of Jonah Hex, which is a solid. It's amazing how solid that little bitty story was in like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. And you had oh god, what's that guy's name? He was the first Tom Jane. Tom Jane was the voice of Jonah Hex, and he did a pretty good job. I think he would have been a better cast in the movie role rather than Josh Brolin. Thomas Jane, oh, but maybe. I guess he had just done Punisher.
Yeah. Well, he needed the rebound.
Yeah.
But
he was a good voice.
I really liked the Spectre one. It had the grindhouse feel.
Yeah, it had a... God, what's that guy? Gary Cole was the voice Gary of Spectre. Cole. Yeah, mm-hmm. from Office Space. That would be great. Okay, yeah. I love Gary Cole. I thought he was a pretty cool voice of that, too. And I don't even know anything about that character, Spectre. I don't know anything. But I was intrigued by that story. Yeah. Had a cool like little murder to that, too.
Yeah, that one, the Green Arrow. I believe that was one of them.
Yeah, that had some solid animation in that one, too. And I'm not a huge Green Arrow guy. I've never seen Arrow. I've been to. One day I'll sit down and I'll binge watch Arrow.
Well, it's on Netflix
Arrow.
Now, so... I mean.
A friend of mine, she's recommended Arrow to me, but I think she just likes that
okay.
dude's abs.
For God, I think my wife is the same way. But the first season of Arrow, honestly, I give up on it.
I'm flipping channels sometimes and I catch it. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to watch it for a minute to see if anything I recognize jumps out. I was flipping channels once and I caught... It was clearly Deathstroke. Right. Is he part of it? And maybe... I've seen cosplayers who look better than the way they made him look in the show. He looked kind of silly.
Well, towards later on, they kind of revamped the costume.
And really, because when you think about it, for an assassin, bright orange is not the color you want
to
be sporting.
Well, that's not their fault.
And I know, I'm saying props to trying to be... respectful and pay homage, but at the same time, you got to make it. It's got to be somewhat grounded in reality.
Again, wait till later on. They revamped the costume. That's what I'm saying. Season one, that was a big like that was hit or miss for me. That was on that one. But season two, I got back into it to give another chance, and season two really picked up the ball and kind of went with it from there. And then season three, I'm enjoying that one so far.
Okay. Well, like I said, Green Arrow has never been one of my favorites. Speaking of Green Arrow, let's talk about another cat we haven't mentioned, Green Lantern.
Yes.
They've made two Green Lantern movies. One Wonder Woman movie, two Green Lantern movies. You know, poor Wonder Woman. Nobody
has
any faith in her.
In her defense, she doesn't have a whole core of...
Yeah, they're called Amazons. Green Lantern movies. It started out with First Flight.
Damn you.
Yeah. Christopher Maloney as GL and Victor Garber as Sinestro. Pretty solid origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
First Flight.
It's basically a Green Lantern origin story.
Yeah, and it's good. It's better than the movie. It ain't the real movie, for sure.
Oh, God, that Ryan Reynolds abortion? Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. Oh, God, they got everything wrong with that. But yeah, no, First Flight's pretty good, and then they followed that up a little while later with Emerald Knights, which is a series of
it was more
short
or less,
stories.
Yeah, taking... Just basically different stories of different characters.
Yeah. And this one featured Nate Fillion as Hal Jordan again.
I love him as Hal Jordan.
He is. They should really... Did you ever... You saw that fake trailer on YouTube a while ago, right? It was like a fan-made trailer
for a
Green Lantern movie as Nathan Fillion. They took footage of him from Firefly and they tweaked
it. Oh, no. I didn't see that.
It's a fairly... Then they tweaked every other superhero movie imaginable.
Oh, okay.
And it really is it's a fan-made trailer. Just Google Green Lantern Nathan Fillion. It's pretty well done. And it got a lot of people excited. Like,
I would see
this movie.
It sounds a little familiar. Maybe I did see it. I'm just forgetting.
Like, it's fun being able to recognize, like, oh, that's a little bit of footage for Fantastic Four or something. Or that's a little bit of footage from X-Men, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have to go back and check that out.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool trailer. And then when I heard they actually cast him to be Green Lantern, it made me wonder if maybe Andrea Romano got a hold of this little fan-made trailer. Yeah, but he's really good. What's it? Jason Isaacs or Lucius Malfoy, as you know him, is the new Sinestro too. Only he plays a good guy because this is all storytelling all over the place. So he still plays Sinestro as a good character,
right?
Which is kind of cool to see because you know we mostly know him as a villain.
Although with a name like Sinestro, like,
who saw that coming? Yeah. He's a bad guy.
That's what you get for 70s creations from comic books. Or 60s. I can't remember what year he was made.
Like Psy-Kill. Oh, yeah. He's a cycle who kills Leader One. Yeah, I think GoBots has probably the most uninspired name. Scooter. What does he turn into? What was the name of that car?
Turbo.
Coptor.
Oh, yeah.
Coptor. Quick, turn into a Coptor. The dude's name was Coptor. Oh, God. Anyways. GoBots. Can we do a show about GoBots?
We could. Would anybody listen to it? I don't know.
I don't know. I couldn't fill up 5 minutes worth of what I remember about GoBots, yeah, except they were just like, I think Jason Lee describes them, the Kmart Transformers. Yeah. That's a pretty good description.
Yeah.
What's another shitty one? You mentioned more. We've only talked about a few shitty ones. There's got to be more.
There was one that you mentioned to me before we started recording that I totally blanked out of my memory.
Oh, yeah.
Superman Unbound. What the F, dude?
I saw that once. I think I was like cooking dinner at the time and had it on the TV. So it couldn't even keep my full attention.
Yeah.
I was just sort of poking my head around.
Okay, I just said Unbound right now. How many people like heard that? Like, what are you talking about?
Superman Unbound. It was a Brainiac Supergirl story.
Totally forgettable.
I don't remember even the plot, except it had. I remember Brainiac was. He wasn't like the robot, he was like the organic kind of a Brainiac.
Yeah.
Version, which I will say, none of the animation has really shown that version.
And you know, the thing is, I actually have the comics that's based off of. So you would think that I would would remember, you know, have more of a connection to it. But no, it was just there. I saw it. I forgot it.
Okay, there's a shitty one that I bought it because I was, you know, I had the momentum was there. A new one comes out.
I'm you have faith at with them at this point.
Yeah, and I think at that point I still had owned everyone up to it. So if just for the sake of keeping my collection intact, I just bought this one, sight unseen. It was called Superman versus Elite, or Superman versus the Elite,
right.
Which was like a superhero team of like Cockney, or at least the hero was real Cockney. Mm-hmm. I mean, the main leader of them.
Right.
And there were other superheroes who were willing to kill. They were willing to break Superman's rule. And at first, he's kind of like working with them, and then he realized they skewer a little
darker.
They must
watch Man of Steel.
Right? Yeah. Superman doesn't give a shit about killing people there. It's only been his rule for like decades of comic books. But let's reboot it and just throw that out the window. Anyways, that's a whole other... So Superman has to fight off this whole team. And there's like one dude's telekinetic and the chick's like a wizard or something. I don't even remember what all their powers were. Right off the bat, the animation, the design of these characters, the way they look, was just aesthetically unappealing.
Okay.
It wasn't pleasant to look at. Now, there's some other ones like Justice League Doom. I like the character designs. I like how they look. Same, the Son of Batman, the animation is good. They look, you know, they look kind of grounded like real people, right. But they still have the, you know, aesthetic cartoon look. But Elite, it looked bad. Just the character design lost me right from the, and maybe that's not a fair judgment, but right off the bat I was kind of like not on board.
Well, it's a visual medium for telling the story, and if the visual isn't there,
yeah,
it's hard to get into the...
Well, yeah, why do you think a lot of most movie stars who are good looking but can't act for shit is because people just want to see something pleasant.
Yeah.
And on that, yeah. But even regardless, the movie itself is a little weak. Superman, you think he's going to start playing by their rules, and he starts killing them. And it turns out, no, he's not, because he won't do that.
Because he's Superman. Yeah.
But I remember very little about it. I think I watched it once when I first bought it, and I don't think I've seen it since.
I give DC credit for pulling successful comic book stories and translating them over to animated style. Because these, even though that we're not really into the animated version of the movie that came out, they were successful comic books stories.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's another story, and they made it into a movie, and it was, for the most part, a faithful adaptation. That was Justice League War.
Yes.
That one's not that old. I saw it. I've since, after the movie, then I went back and I think I read the new 52 Justice League book. Okay. This is what introduces the new 52
to the animated.
Yeah, style. So I saw the movie first, and I thought it was cool.
Okay, now with you not being a big comic reader for DC, you didn't know. Did you already?
Well, I knew what New 52 was. Right. I knew that this was a reboot.
Okay, so I was hoping you would say you didn't know anything about.
Because the origins were different. Mm-hmm. Characters didn't even know each other, and I think they were like, is it me or is Superman now like more of a dick? Because he was kind of a dick in this movie.
Well, they're all kind of dicks.
And Green Lantern was like a major dick.
Yeah.
And Batman wasn't as much of, not a dick, but.
In New 52, Batman's pretty much the same. He's like this status quo, but everybody else is kind of more dickish.
Yeah. I think maybe he came off as more pansy because everybody else, their dick factor got like really multiplied and Batman's didn't.
Yeah.
So he seemed kind of like just there.
Because they're supposed to be edgier, you know, they're supposed to be more modern.
Yeah. Again, like I thought the animation looked pretty cool. I thought it was a cool idea.
Because, you know, this is coming out after what we talked about before, Flashpoint Paradox, and Flashpoint was what started the whole New 52 in the first place. So War
came out after Flashpoint, the DVD, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was a cool idea.
Because like, this is the animation that we're going to get from now on. For
entirely? I think there's still so many good older books that are waiting to be adapted.
Yeah, there's going to be like maybe one or two, but yeah, that's going forward, that's what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a series that exists within this universe, but I'm sure like every other two, I think will be like an old story that we know and love.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they're trying to get everybody behind the New 52 stuff, and for the most part, I mean, it's what it is, but I mean...
Stop trying to make New 52 happen. It's not gonna happen. Who's that? I don't know. What do you think of this whole New 52 idea of just going right back to the drawing board and starting from scratch?
I don't like it.
I think it's kind of lazy.
Well, besides being lazy, they've done it so many times. Crisis on Infinite Earth, and there was another Crisis when they did that with, not too long ago, actually. But this, the only book I've read since New 52 started is Batman.
I read a couple of those. I think I checked out one that was a Green Lantern. I opened it up and it was just too much green. It gave me a headache to read. It was like every page, like, fuck, there's a lot of green. And I put it back.
I did read the first trade of Justice League, so I knew about the story already. I like how they got together.
I do, like, there's one scene in the comic where Aquaman, who's actually the seventh member, whatever, not Captain Marvel or Shazam or whatever the fuck they call him. And I think it's like GL is like, what can you, or he says like, he's the Flash Man alive, I could do anything with this ring, Superman can juggle trucks, like what can you do? And then all these parademons are flying over the water, and Aquaman summons all these sharks to kill him.
Yeah.
And he kind of like shuts him up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool scene. It's rare that Aquaman actually gets to look cool, because the communicating with fish power is kind of always regarded as being a little lame.
Yeah.
And not practical when, you know, you're fighting on land. But I thought, hey, that was that perfect opportunity to use his power and make himself look cool, and didn't get to see it in the movie, and I was like, dang.
But that's going to change, because next year there's going to be...
Oh, with Khal Drogo as Aquaman?
No, not that.
Okay.
There's going to be an animated... What we're talking about, there's going to be an animated movie for Aquaman coming out.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Batman-Superman crossover with Ben Affleck. Wasn't Jason Momoa?
Yeah, he's gonna be in there.
Ooh, some you might know as Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones, right. Or he was Conan in that Conan reboot a couple years ago.
Yeah,
that guy, I do not picture him as Aquaman.
I don't either.
I guess it wouldn't make sense that Aquaman would be like a blonde haired, blue eyed guy, but that's just the vision I've always had in my head. Not someone's ethnic as
Momoa.
Yeah,
you know, here's the thing, real quick here. Marvel and DC movies, like when Marvel casts their movies, you see their cast like, oh yeah, that makes sense, that works, yeah, and then you look at DC's like casting like, what, huh, I don't understand why they're casting these people. Is that a sense that you get too, or
I wouldn't say I've never second guessed some of the Marvel casting decisions. There's probably a lot that I could be like, what, really? But DC, well, you are right in that DC is mostly like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Now, okay, now, the Ben Affleck thing, I actually think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it.
I do too.
Great director. I think he's a good actor. He went through a slump in the 90s, but he was just enjoying being...
He was the 90s. Everybody was doing
it. He was enjoying being the it boy. Yeah. He was young. Give him a break. But once he grew up and he started to hone his talent and become a director in particular, yeah, he's good. I like Ben Affleck, and I think he could probably be a good Batman. The only problem is he's Ben Affleck. He's bigger. He's too big. We're just going to be seeing Ben Affleck as Batman. I think they should have cast some. Not a lot of people knew who Henry Cavill was, mm-hmm. from New Superman, so we're not seeing an A-list actor.
Right.
We're just seeing Superman, and that's all we're seeing on the screen.
You don't think that's well? Because look at Marvel movies. All those big stars they got for those movies.
Other than Hugh Jackman, how many unknowns?
Well, Robert Downey Jr. I mean.
Come on. He was an unknown?
No, I'm saying known, guys. Because you're saying Ben Affleck.
Saying Marvel. I'm saying other than Hugh Jackman, they tend to go for big stars, too.
Yeah.
And I'm saying I think it's better when you... Like, not a lot of people knew who Christian Bale was at the time. He was... What had he had done that was really big before he was cast as Batman? You know? Trying to think of other examples. Not even just superhero
movies.
Well,
before Thor came out, Chris Hemsworth. I mean, did anybody know who he was before Thor?
No, not really.
Yeah.
But fucking Hayden Christensen. He's a terrible actor, but I'll give George Lucas credit for not hiring a famous actor we've already known. Because we want to see this guy as just being Darth Vader. You know, we don't want to confuse him with his stardom that we already have. So I'll give him credit. He cast an unknown. He cast one of the worst fucking unknowns in the history of acting. But like that, I think it's better when you have an iconic character. To not let their star power overshadow the interpretation we're going to see on screen.
Okay.
Because we're just going to be seeing Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
In a mask. That's all we're going to see.
I'm not worried about him in the mask. I'm wondering how he's going to be as Bruce Wayne. More than Batman. If we're even going to get Bruce Wayne. It might just be, like on Justice League, the animated series, when this is, like, them in costume. You never see them. You never see them out of costume.
He's, like, in the cafeteria of the...
The Watchtower.
The Watchtower. In his mask. Yeah. You know, eating his sloppy joe or whatever. Like, he never takes it off. Yeah. Like, when does he have time to, like, run Wayne Enterprises? They make it seem like it's a full-time job.
Right,
just being Batman on the team. And, like, you know, he runs a multi-billion dollar corporation, but, you know, whatever. But he has like watch duty. He has a weekly shield. Is the new schedule posted in the commissary room so I can find out what time I'm gonna watch at the watchtower? It seems like that's his full time job.
You would think that would have been a skit that Robot Chicken would have done by now.
They might have.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I love Robot Chicken because I've never like followed it. So every time I'm flipping channels and it's on, it's usually one I've never seen.
Good. Mm-hmm.
And it's always a pleasant surprise. It would surprise you if they've covered something similar, or who knows, maybe not. I don't know.
They did a whole DC special.
I think I wanted to record that or something, and I must have missed it. But yeah, they're funny.
All right, one little quick thing, or one I guess last honorable mentions I wanted to talk about was it was kind of an unofficial two-parter, but it was Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, and then Apocalypse.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was I mean, clearly one follows the events of the other.
Yeah.
That one counts, I would say.
You don't need to watch both of them to... You don't need to watch Public Enemies before you watch Apocalypse, but
No, I like both of those.
Yeah.
I like them both. I think the animation on Public Enemies was a little too, like, cartoony.
Yeah, I know you told me that before, and I... My only thing to that is I appreciate it just because I know the artist, Ed McGuinness, they're just... emulating his artwork.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I didn't get that.
Yeah, that's it.
Like they were too... Like He-Man. They're just too...
Exactly. That's his
too
style.
Muscly, too disproportionate kind of a thing. That's what like when I was talking about Son of Batman or Doom. I think they look more the way human proportions are.
No, and I totally understand where you're coming from that. Just for me, I understand what they're going with that.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate it, the fact that they're translating the artists itself. The artist's work. And
but yeah, no, that was a cool story. And I do... And Apocalypse the same way. I thought the animation was pretty cool looking.
And the story was... I think the story is better in Apocalypse than Public Enemies.
Yeah. There was a lot of Doomsday going on in that one. And I don't know if they were supposed to be as tough as the actual Doomsdays, because they were taking them out just left and right like they were nothing. Like, Superman just freezes one and then punches him and shatters him. Like, why weren't you doing that last time when you got killed? Or what?
Well,
is that part of it? Is there an army of Doomsdays in the comic? I've never read that comic.
Yeah, later on they did.
I know it is a comic. I've seen, like, stills of it.
Yeah, later on they kind of touched on that. And
yeah.
He's fought Doomsday several times by now in the comics.
Yeah, Supergirl.
Yeah.
Was in that one too. Summer Glau, who I like a lot.
Yeah, the animation is a lot better in Apocalypse.
Although, that movie would have been a lot better if they had gotten Michael Ironside to be the voice of Darkseid.
Yes.
I don't know. They got the three, Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman. They got the original voices from that. Why couldn't they get Michael Ironside? I hate not to be mean, but I'm sure he wasn't too busy. You know?
God, you're so mean.
I love the dude. He's got a great voice. And Andre Bauer, I got nothing against him, but he just didn't sound right.
Yeah.
Even Granny Goodness. They got Ed Asner to be the voice of Granny Goodness, so they brought him back.
Yeah, especially, I mean, yeah, just for nothing else, have a complete set of the original cast members.
Yeah, for consistency.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, most of those movies, most of them I enjoy, some I say are really good, a very few set of misses.
Okay, not to put you on the spot or anything, if you were to give someone your top five lists, your top five animated movies from DC, what would you tell them?
If we're counting Mask of the Phantasm, I'd probably say Mask of the Phantasm, Wonder Woman, Flashpoint, Year One, and the last one. I probably need to look at a whole long list because maybe a Justice League movie, maybe a shit. I don't know. Return of the Joker. There you go. Return of the Joker. I'll play it safe. Dang, that's a hard. I would probably want to have a whole list in front of me. And I would have to contemplate this long and hard. Don't hold me to that top five. What about yours?
Would you count Dark Knight Returns as one or two movies?
That's a whole.
Okay, so count that as one.
Yeah.
Okay. I would do Dark Knight Returns, Flashpoint Paradox, Wonder Woman. Man, I really like Year One as a solid Batman, like, origin story.
That fifth one's hard.
I know it is, man.
Because as you're naming them, you're like, I still got more choices.
I know, yeah.
You've only got one left.
God, even though you mentioned it, I'm going to say Mask of the Phantasm also. That's got to be in the... That's got
to
be...
Yeah, that one has to be.
Yeah.
That's like the easiest one.
Do you want to do an honorable mention to say the sixth one?
Nah. Okay. I'll just take it. Yeah, if the fifth one was giving me that much of a headache, the sixth one won't be any easier.
Mine's going to explode.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're pretty good. $15 if you're lucky
to buy one. Whenever you buy them, do you buy Blu-ray, DVD, the special editions? How do you buy them?
I think I mostly started buying the single DVD ones because they were still fairly new, and then I kind of wanted to keep my collection consistent.
Yeah.
And then I got, like, All-Star Superman as a gift, as a Blu-ray, and I was like...
Totally screwed you up, huh?
Yeah, I was like, thank you for, you know, because, oh, you love these movies, so let me give you this one. But I was like, but it's not... But it's Blu-ray. Like, it throws my whole collection off. I keep my Blu-rays in a separate shelf over there, and now it threw me all off. And that movie wasn't even that good to begin with, All-Star Superman. I haven't read the books that it's based on.
We didn't really talk about that one, just because it's not...
We kind of forgot all about that one until I mentioned it now.
There was too much story to be told in an hour and a half.
Since, like I said, I never read those books. I know they're based on books, too. It's like every 15 minutes was like a whole new villain, a whole new story. I mean, you could tell this was taken, like, from this was pieced together. But it does not make for good cohesive storytelling as a movie format. They should have trimmed it down or just not adapted it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I wasn't feeling that one.
I tend to pick up the Blu-rays if I can. Just because it's...
It's animation. It's going to look as good on your TV... A regular DVD is a Blu-ray would.
Yeah, true.
It's not like you're going to see the wrinkles and pores and the actors, you know, the details. It's just anime. That's why I don't really care about Blu-ray when it comes to animation.
Yeah. If I did get on DVD, it would be the special edition just because I got to have the... I know some of them have, like, the roundtable discussions and different aspects of them talking about different things.
I think Public Enemies is the only one I have a two-disc version, and I hate it because it's the one anomaly in my... big collection of them. It throws it off. It's the one that has that cardboard sleeve that slides over the DVD box.
Yeah.
I know people who buy those and they throw them away right away. Like, they unopen the package, pull off the cardboard sleeve, and throw it away. And I'm like, oh, like, you gotta keep it all together.
It's part of your purchase.
It's part of your purchase. Yeah, if you were to look at my DVD library right now, you'd probably find a dozen of those sleeves. And it's annoying when you want to watch it and you gotta put the sleeve elsewhere, but it's part of it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. You made the commitment to buy it.
Yeah, you bought the two disc sleeve. You're gonna sport it in that thing, and it helps protect it, and it keeps it. Anyways,
I went to Movie Exchange, and I was looking down. I was looking for this movie, but I saw Iron Man on DVD, and they actually had it without the slipcase on it. So, you know, the slipcase had like the big hole in it to where it was Iron Man's armor, and then it had the little light on it.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, the outer case was missing, so all you had was...
It's just Robert Downey Jr. in a black t-shirt.
Yeah.
No words. No nothing. It's, no. Just, it's just a... Yeah, that would throw me the... Yeah, that would screw me up.
Yeah, so was there anything else that we wanted to mention about... is there any ones that you're looking forward to coming out?
What is coming out?
I just know that Aquaman and that's one we didn't talk about. It's already out. The Assault on Arkham.
Oh yeah, I did see that one. I kind of forgot all about that one. Assault on Arkham. I know that's a video game, right?
Yes, it's a series of video games.
Yeah. I've never played the video game, so from a storytelling point of view, I kind of came in kind of fresh.
Okay,
I thought it was a neat idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think whoever they got to do the voice of Joker, he's the guy who does it in the games, right?
No, because in the games they actually have Mark Hamill.
Oh. Well, whoever it was...
Did a damn good job.
Well, yeah, he did.
As Mark Hamill.
But he wasn't Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And all I heard was a guy trying to be Mark Hamill. And I thought he did a credible job, but I could tell the difference. And it's like, if you can't do it... If you can't get Mark Hamill, don't try to be Mark Hamill, you know?
Same thing with the chick that played Harley Quinn.
Because that wasn't Arlene Sorkin either?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I think it was someone else.
Oh. Well, otherwise, it's just, you know, rubbing in your face that we couldn't get it. Well, here's the next best thing.
So, I mean, what'd you think? I mean... Animation, story,
and... The animation was pretty good, and it had a bit of a more mature vibe to it, you know, not just...
Especially with Harley...
Not just not just in the sexy aspect, and you can tell they were having sex, but in the violence aspect, too. You know, people are trying to kill...
Well, someone gets blown up.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, yeah, it had a bit more mature vibe. Maybe they figure the fans of these are growing up.
Maybe.
You know, so they're evolving as its fans do. Because like you said, it's been like 10 years they've been putting these movies out now.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the mid-2000s, I think they started making them. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I guess I can't believe I just forgot about it. Must not have made the hugest of impressions. But it was definitely
It's new. It's still fresh in the head. I mean, it's just...
It's definitely worth a watch if you enjoy
it. When we're talking about rewinding back to older ones, this is kind of a newer one. So.
Like Son of Batman. I think I mentioned that once or twice, but we didn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
That's definitely worth watching. It's definitely entertaining.
The voice has got on my nerves, but other than that, it's good.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Greg, Darman Greg guy, as Deathstroke, his voice was a little...
It did not fit the character at all.
Mm-mm. I thought Ra's al Ghul... It was cool seeing him actually, like, fight and kick ass. He's so used to just being the guy who stands back and let other people do shit for him.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool to see him take on dudes with, you know... With machine guns, with just a sword, kind of be a badass. That was kind of a neat. I thought the opening, where Deathstroke storms the League of Shadows' base.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that whole opening sequence was pretty entertaining. You're kind of like, whoa, this is going to be a good movie. And then the brat shows up and starts being a brat and acting like a brat, and you just want to kick the shit out of him.
Spoiler alert, it's Batman.
Spoiler alert, yeah. Yeah, I just hated the kid. So many good adventure action movies are ruined by you thinking you need to add a kid.
Yeah.
See the whole Jurassic Park franchise. You'll see Terminator 2. I think we talked about this last time or something.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you always think a kid...
I don't know.
I don't get the mentality. The thing, we need to throw in a little kid, and that'll make the movie so much more fun.
Because the kids that watch it, I mean, it's not geared towards kids, so why put the kid aspect in there? And the older people that are watching don't care about the kids in the movie, so...
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. But in this particular case, you had to have it because it was the whole story in the first place, so...
Then don't make him such a little douche.
Well, that's his character in the comics, too, so...
Well, then I blame whoever wrote the comics. Like I said, it all starts with the comics.
That'd be Grant Morrison, but it's neither here nor there.
Oh, my bad. Is he a big deal?
Well, people like him. I don't like him, though.
Oh, okay.
He makes his shit too complicated. Yeah, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. So, thanks again, Xavier, for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Hopefully, we'll have you on again somewhere down the road. We'll figure something out. But as always, you know where to catch us. And until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say pop your rewind. That's not the name of the. That's not the name of it. Okay.
And wrap.